everyone. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and today we're joined by Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. You can find Dalton on Twitter at his name, Dalton Del Don, and I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Dalton, thanks for coming to the show. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Man, baseball is so much fun, but it gets even more fun. You know, some people are going to be really mad at me for saying this, but the Red Sox-Yankees brawl last night, I had so much fun watching it. I mean, I don't think beanballs really belong in baseball. I know it's a part of the game and everything, because, like, you could seriously get hurt with a beanball. If it's just a brawl, like, people do that in hockey all the time. It's nothing compared to what happens in football. I'm all for it, man. Let them be boys.
Yeah, I was actually out of the house for a good chunk of yesterday, and not only did I miss one, but I missed two fights in baseball. Yeah. I mean, Arenado charged the mound as well. So I'm with you, of course. I mean, I do think some of the old school rules are a bit silly, of course, but yeah, I'd love to see some action. One of these punches has got to connect one of these days, but the fights always end up so bad, but entertaining nevertheless.
Yeah, the fight is always really bad. There were a couple landed, but like barely, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'll tell you, when I saw Joe Kelly trending, he came from the Cardinals. I knew exactly what happened because I saw earlier in the game when Tyler Austin came and got Brock Holt with the slide, and really, I don't think it was that dirty of a slide. He could have hurt him, but I don't think it was really, you know, worth throwing a 98-mile-per-hour fastball at somebody. But
right.
I knew what happened because Joe Kelly has a blazer, and he's an interesting guy. I remember back in the NLCS, he was against, Scott Van Slyke in the national anthem standoff. He's a character, man.
I do remember that. And also, I want to correct myself. Odor did get a pretty good shot in Jose Bautista. That was a good connection.
Was it Odor in the minor leagues? I don't know if you've seen this video, but back in the minor leagues, there was some prospect, I think, for the Rangers, and I'm pretty sure it was Odor, who, I don't know if he did a dirty slide, but somebody went after him, and he got him, and then like five of their teammates came after him, and he got like all of them. It was pretty incredible. So I think Odor might be the exception there. Kyle Farnsworth, too.
Right. I think Odor is the guy you're talking of. And another fun fact with him is his brother has the same exact name as him. I've always liked that fact.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a great fact. You know, I think my favorite part of all of this, I don't know if you saw the picture afterward, but like right after this big fight, Joe Kelly's sitting there. He's got like a really deep V-neck, like all of his buttons except like two are unbuttoned. And he's sitting there blowing a bubble in the middle of it with his gum. He's so funny, man. That whole thing cracked me up.
Yeah, no, I'll check it out. I'll look for it.
So other news, that's not exactly news, but I think it's worth talking about. Sorry if you guys disagree that are listening to the show. I think some of y'all think it's fun, but Elvis Andrews fractured his elbow. That is a big deal. He was the number one fantasy shortstop last year. Not going to happen again. Obviously, you've got Correa and you've got Corey Seager. Manny Machado is going to be a shortstop as well, but it's a pretty big deal for fantasy owners. Dalton, I'm wondering what you think about Jerks and Profar, if he's worth a pickup or there's another shortstop you're eyeing.
Yeah, Profar in deeper leagues, you've got to add him. It's just all context here. He's been so bad recently, but we're talking about a former top prospect, could find himself atop that order, good hitters park. So yeah, I mean, if you're in a competitive league, a deeper league, sure, these are the type of sometimes you just have to blind faith. You know, the skills were once there, certainly has not been at the major league level. But last year in the minors, AAA, you know, a 116 WRC plus, so he was better than average. I know his age is now creeping up to above normal. You know, he's not long ago he was considered young, but sure, might as well take a stab in the dark here because at minimum the opportunity is going to be there for the foreseeable future here.
You're right, and he's got a good spot in the lineup as well. You know, I don't think the ceiling is anywhere near what it used to be. I mean, Profar, when he was coming up, people were saying he's going to be a yearly all-star. That's not the case anymore. I don't think he's going to be that. Maybe he'll be an all-star at one point in his career, but probably not for a long time. Still, I think he's worth a flyer here in the very least. It's kind of a lottery ticket, but worst case scenario, you get a bum for 2 weeks and you drop him for somebody who you could probably pick up right now. It's worth checking out because if he goes and bats 290 with a little bit of pop, steals some bags, you're going to be really sad that you didn't pick him up. You know, I was telling people 2 days ago, and, you know, it's looking bad now, pick up Franklin Barreto for the Oakland A's, but they're not playing him right now. I don't know why they would call up a hot prospect like him and not play him. So if you're not going Profar, I'd probably go Aledmys Diaz if he's still out there.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as well.
Travis d'Arnaud is likely out for the season. I'm looking at the free agents for catchers. I had a bunch of people say, like, I don't know what to do. I had him and JT Realmuto. I don't have any catchers now. Who do I pick up? You look at the waiver wire here, Dalton. You got Robinson Chirinos, who's really struggling. Barnes is hardly playing at all for the Dodgers, and he's struggling. Barnhart is crushing the ball for the Reds. I don't know if that's going to keep up. Maybe Kevin Plawicki, who used to be a top 100 prospect as a catcher. He was a decent hitter in the minor leagues. Do you like any of these guys? What do you think? Maybe no catcher?
Yeah, it's really ugly. It's not all the injuries, and too bad about Darno. I mean, the guy just can't stay healthy. Not that he was off to a hot start, but he had the skills to hit 15 to 20 homers, which is magic in today's age with these catchers. But I'm looking at my 12-team home league and catchers available in a one-catcher league, and it is ugly. I mean, John Ryan Murphy, Max Stassi, Rene Rivera, Cervelli is about the biggest name, maybe Kurt Suzuki. It's ugly. Yeah, that's so I'm in the same situation as even uglier than the names you mentioned. So it's really, really rough in that position as it's been in any time I can remember in the last few years.
You mentioned a name that I forgot about and I actually like a lot more than any of these other names, even more than Robinson Chirinos, is Kurt Suzuki. He was extremely good last year. Now that Flowers is out, yeah, he has to play every day. And so his production is going to go down, but the counting stat should also go up.
Yeah, I was surprised that his name came up when I was reading other guys who have done better. But he has a couple homers already. And sure, last year showed the pop and the playing time is going to creep up. So I'm with you. Among those names, he's a guy I would grab.
So Dalton, today we're going to get into the waiver wire. I've got a handful of pitchers, handful of hitters to talk about. Then a few questions from the listener mailbag. Some of them from Reddit AMA. I did one of those today. And there were a couple good questions I want to share.
Yeah, how did that go? How'd that go, by the way? That's pretty cool that you did one of those.
Yeah, it went really well. I mean, some of the times the people on Reddit have really big opinions and get quite aggressive about it. I said something, I don't remember what it was. I don't know. So somebody kind of lost their nerve at me and I was like, I just want to sit here and like defend my point of view and everything for like hours. But, I can't do that. There's like 200 questions to answer. And frankly, I haven't even got to all of them. So I'm going to try to do that afterwards before my family and I go out to eat tonight. But before we get to the waiver wire and the listener mailbag, there's an awesome new way to get a premium Fantasy Pro subscription courtesy of draft.com. If you haven't used draft.com before, they use best ball leagues for fantasy football. These week-long leagues for all sports, including baseball with snake drafts. That take like 8 minutes to complete. It's like the ones you do at the beginning of your season. If you pick a great team, you're going to win cash prizes. And our exciting news is if you're a new user at Draft and deposit $10, you'll get a free 6-month upgrade to Fantasy Pros at our highest tier. That's a $65 value for just $10. And you can win money with that $10 too. So it's a no-brainer in my opinion. The deposit gets you access to all our premium tools and content. Draft Wizard for football that's going to be coming up in a couple months, if you can believe it, our premium draft kit, in-season My Playbook services, and our DFS tools for all sports as well. To upgrade, just go to fantasypros.com/offer. Once you make your $10 deposit, you'll instantly receive the premium Fantasy Pros upgrade for 6 months. That's fantasypros.com/offer, and you'll get a $65 value for just $10. So Dalton, the last show that we did, we had Mike Tagliare on, our fantasy football expert.
Yep.
And he doesn't really know that much about baseball. So he was just asking me the listener mailbag questions. And, he was asking questions about, I'm a new fantasy baseball manager. So what do you think about this? And it was a good show. I liked it. But we did a draft.com contest at the end and he actually ended up beating me. People have been asking who won and Tags ended up winning because Charlie Blackman was out of the lineup. He picked up Jose Perella last minute playing in Coors and he had a great game. So Tags beat me. So embarrassing.
It happens. One day in baseball, but that's funny though. He got good advice, put it that way, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was coaching him through it and everything. So Dalton, the waiver wire, I want to start at pitcher, and this is the player that I've been having the most questions about. Joey Lucchesi. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. I've heard it before, but it is so difficult. So sorry if I butchered that one. What do you think about him? He's doing it so far, but he was never a big prospect. He wasn't really expected to open the season in the major leagues. And here he is. He's doing great, even in Coors.
So I have a close friend from high school, and he spells his last name the same exact way. And he pronounces it Lucchesi. So I'm going to go with it as you. And man, he's been impressive. Kind of came under the radar, but in Coors Field, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk last outing. So highly impressive. 16 Ks over his first 3 starts and 15 and 2/3 innings. Obviously, Petco Park to his advantage. Chase Field, remains to be seen how it's going to be played. I mean, Humidor could help him there, the division. So sure, Lucchesi, Steamer's projecting a mid-3 ERA moving forward, and they're conservative. So I'm surprised. I'm looking at the Yahoo numbers owned in just 29% of leagues. So I would be adding him in all but the shallowest of leagues.
I'm not extremely excited about him, but when you watch him pitch, he's got this really strange delivery. And I think it's hard for hitters to pick up. And then he has a weird arm slot, too. He's releasing the ball from a high angle that a lot of hitters aren't used to seeing. And when those type of pitchers come up in the big leagues, they always have immediate success. I'm not saying it's going to burn out within a week or two, it's probably going to last half a season. I'm riding him while he's hot. And, you know, if he starts to go downhill, I think hitters are eventually going to figure him out. But right now, yeah, he's a pickup.
Yeah, I mean, you don't overact to three starts and all that. But, I mean, I look more at just the peripherals than I say the run prevention. And you just look at the Ks the last two starts, and the swinging strike percentage is already it's 13.3% through three starts, and that's pretty much elite. So that's at least puts him well on notice. You're right, it could come – I mean, it doesn't have some great pedigree or something, and it could come all crashing down. But the peripherals certainly put him, to me, as under-owned as far as 30%.
So I was writing an article earlier in the season. It was actually in the preseason. It was a bold predictions article. And it was just answering a question like, who are the big breakouts at starting pitcher this year? And I made a joke saying it's probably going to be someone like Yanni Chirinos, because, you know, no one knew his name. No one was expecting him to be in the major leagues. And I thought, you know, he's got a chance at being in the rotation at some point. He's had good minor league numbers. He's one of these random guys who will break out. Look at him. He's doing great so far. And everybody's excited. The hype train on him is going crazy right now. Are you on it?
I've missed the boat. I got to admit, I missed the boat on him, and I have not been on the hype train, but it's maybe I'll join it, but the AL East is just so difficult situation. He's not going to have the run support there, but he does. It's a pitcher's park. So yeah, he's one of those guys, again, pick up now. It's always it's extra great when you have a terrific pickup when you do it in the beginning of the year and you get the 6 months out of them as opposed to the middle of the year. And some of these flyers do turn out to be the real deal. But I'm remaining skeptical myself. But talk to me otherwise.
I'm skeptical as well. I'm not on board. In fact, when I made the joke, it was a joke because I wasn't on board.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, like, this is baseball. It's super random. And that's exactly what ended up happening. You know, I like Lucchesi quite a bit more than Chirinos. And I know that's going to rub some people the wrong way. But you know what? Like, I have to give you my analysis to help you win your championship leagues. I watch him. His stuff just isn't there. He's getting people out. There's a lot of guys who get people out who end up not doing as well. You know, this may last. He plays in front of a very good defense. He's got Kiermaier back there and everything, who's horrible at the plate lately. But, you know, I don't think Chirinos is a long-term big league pitcher. Very best case scenario, he's Michael Fulmer. Michael Fulmer's all right, but you don't jump out of the seat of your pants to get him. You don't spend your number one waiver wire pickup on him. And that's the best case scenario. I think he's going to be more like a Rick Porcello, who I don't think is really ownable. So yeah, pick him up. Maybe he does well, but the next guy on the list and the guy after him, I'm much more excited about.
Yeah, given their situations, I would take Lucchesi.
What about Nick Pivetta? Nick Pivetta is someone that I was very excited about last year. I remember we did an All-Star break episode talking about second half bold predictions, and I was a big fan. You know, his peripherals last year in the second half were very good. His ERA was like 7, though. So I know he made a bunch of mistakes. He gave up some big home runs and everything like that. He looks good so far this year. His stuff is legitimate, and I think he could be a breakout. I'm not banking on him. I say pick him up, put him on your bench, and if he pitches well, 2-3 more starts, yeah, throw him out there.
Good fastball velocity. Sure, he had an ERA of 6 last year, but that came with 140 strikeouts and 133 innings. Looks tremendous so far. I can't expect that control to continue, just the 2 walks, but 19 Ks. I'm a Phillies fan this year. I liked him as a long shot. I got him at 125-1 was my long shot before the season World Series bet. So I just, I'm a big fan of them just to make the playoffs so I can make a little hedging moves there. Not the greatest start, and we'll see about the managerial moves and that bullpen. It could improve if they get healthier. I mean, they just had some real untimely injuries right at the end of the spring. But so I like his setup. A lot of young talent on the offensive end. So some run support there. Pivetta, I'm actually surprised he's not owned in more leagues because they like these young guys that throw hard, the fastball with the K numbers. So I'm surprised he's not seeing more hype.
I like the Phillies this year, but I'm watching the Mets play baseball.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I'm not sure that one's happening for you, Dalton.
Yeah, I know. It's been let's put it this way. It's been a very bad first couple weeks for that bet.
Yeah. Sure. The other guy I want to talk about, and then we'll get to a couple relievers here. Tyler Skaggs, he's still available in 55% of leagues. And if you're in a really competitive league, he's gone. Don't even think about it. But in a lot of these leagues out here, he's got to be the number one pickup, right?
Yeah, it's been health. Not that he's been lights out when on the mound, but his main issue has been health. So while he is currently healthy, let's see what he can do. I mean, sure, an injury might be right around the corner, like it has been with the rest of this Angels staff, but it certainly helps to have a pitcher's park, the best defensive player on the planet at shortstop for you. And he has really, you know, decent velocity for a lefty, some good stuff. So as long as he's healthy, I see no reason fantasy owners shouldn't be stashing him and just, you know, see what happens.
Do you like Andrelton Simmons better than Kiermaier and Byron Buxton on defense?
Yeah, I mean, now we're nitpicking in different positions altogether. But
I would love to have all three of them.
You know what's interesting? Fangraphs, they just redid their UZR, and they adjusted some crazy things have adjusted in the past. So the defensive metrics are really tough to totally take as gospel. But either way, he's one of the very best. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Simmons, big help to have on your side.
You know, here's the thing about Tyler Skaggs. He was a former top 10 prospect. We've never really seen him pitch for an extended period of time. The stuff is still there. It hasn't changed at all. So I'm not saying he's going to be an ace. Of all the guys we've listed, he is no doubt has the highest ceiling.
Yeah, swinging strike percentage, not perfect. And underrates pitchers that can get called strikes, and that is a skill. But 12.7 so far this year through whatever, the three starts, way higher than his career norm. And again, right around that elite territory. So if you want to look at just stuff beyond just, you know, run prevention, it's looking quite encouraging to Skaggs.
Absolutely. Okay, so a couple of relief pitchers here. Someone in the Reddit AMA asked this question. I absolutely loved it. I like both these guys a lot. Josh Hader, Matt Albers. Would you rather have the better reliever who's not going to get any saves, going to rack up the strikeouts, help you a ton in whip and ERA? Would you rather have the guy who's going to get some save opportunities?
Some format kind of matters a little, because if you have those innings caps leagues like some Yahoo's does, Hader helps even more so, because those essentially become K per nine leagues. But man,
yeah.
What a pace he's on. Just ridiculous video game numbers. He's their best. He's easily their best pitcher, but it's tough to, I don't know if it's the lefty is the reason they're not using him, or his age, or in the fact that they're smart and they just use him in higher leverage situations. Whatever the case, the answer for me right now, fantasy wise, is Albers, just because, not that he has the most secure situation either, but boy, he reinvented himself as a pitcher last year, was terrific. And he's looking really, really strong out of the gate this year. And because of role, give me Albers over Hader as far as fantasy terms.
You know, if Albers was just a, you know, he's not exactly the surefire closer. Barnes is still there. He's still getting save opportunities. Right. But if Albers was just your typical run-of-the-mill replacement closer, I would say Hader, because Hader's that good. I think he's right behind Andrew Miller and Chad Green as the top two setup men in baseball. And Hader's not exactly a setup man, but you know what I mean? Not a closer. But Albers was extremely good last year. So he's still going to help you a lot in the ratios as well. I like Albers. If I could, I'd get both of them on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think Knebel is going to be an extended absence with him going down. And it didn't look good.
This Brewers bullpen is so good, which makes me think, like, what are they doing with Josh Hader sitting there in the bullpen? If he's this good, put him in the rotation. They need some help.
No, I have no problem using him, you know, and they shouldn't immediately put him in the closer's role. But you're right. If he does have the capacity to start, they absolutely should be tinkering with that, because the upside would obviously be a lot higher there.
So I've had like a handful of questions on Twitter about Adam Ottavino. And at first I was just like, what are these people thinking? Like, why is everyone asking me about Adam Ottavino? Then I went and looked at his stats. I don't know what happened to him, but he is dominating right now. People are wondering if they should pick him up. My answer is no. He's a relief pitcher that's not a closer in Coors. What do you think, Dalton?
So we have a very similar situation here, because I noticed him getting added in a few leagues of mine, and I'm like, did Wade Davis get hurt? Like, what could possibly have happened? And then I looked at the box score, and sure enough, 16 strikeouts, 2 base runners, and 8 innings. That's what happened. So it's just been not off to a good start, but off to a scorching start. So I'm with you, though. Davis is the guy there, unless he gets injured. Ottavino was just last year, he had a 5.06 ERA. So I see him off to a hot start. He was a great pitcher 2 years ago, but for me, it'd have to be a pretty deep league.
It's easy to get excited about those guys, but there are literally 20 relief pitchers who aren't closers that I would rather own than Ottavino. And I know he's hot right now, but that bad outing is coming.
And Coors Field summer months, just the ball starts flying out of there.
For real. Yep, absolutely. Dalton, let's move on to some hitters now. Jed Lowrie is finally hitting really well. I don't know about finally. I mean, he's been the same player for a long time. He hits righties really well, not especially good against lefties. But I think he is who he is, and what we're seeing right now is just a hot streak.
That's true, but he is hitting third, and he's kind of an underrated player. So, I mean, I guess it's just context. Deeper leagues, he's getting undervalued, but you're right. Let's not overrate a hot start. And he's been injury prone in the past as well. So it's just context here. Deeper leagues, certainly nice value, but I'm not ready to suddenly expect some breakout at this stage of his career.
I think he's worth owning. Like, if you need a player of his position, like, yeah, go pick him up. But I'm not, you know, putting in a waiver wire request for him. It's, you know, if I need someone, I get him. I'm not dropping anybody for him, though.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. And no steals over the past 3 years. 73 walks, 100 strikeouts last year. He's a really nice real-life player.
Yeah. He'll get you some counting stats as well. He's useful. He's one of those guys. Somebody else who's useful that a lot of people aren't really paying attention to, Yonervis Solarte for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's got some pop. He's been stranded in San Diego, so we've never really seen it. Now that he's in Toronto and he's batting in the middle of the order, he's going to put up some power numbers.
Yeah. Talk about plate discipline. 9 walks, 5 yes. strikeouts. What a start. So this is even peripherals are highly impressive. He's shown flashes before. Yeah, he looks terrific. One of those guys that you just don't know. Maybe the light bulb's turned on. So he's definitely worth a stash for sure.
I'm pretty sure I've played him in DFS more than anybody else this year. Maybe Wilmar Flores, because I play him every time he gets a lefty, and they faced a lot of lefties. But Solarte, he always makes an appearance in my lineup.
Well, yeah. Well done so far. I mean, it was always a question of, you know, kind of a playing time crunch and a switching in leagues, new set of pitchers. But outside of Petco Park, that's definitely been the difference so far. That part is one. So potent lineup. You got to like him so far.
My favorite pickup this week, even above Tyler Skaggs, and it's really not even close for me. I think he's an absolute must-add, and it's somebody that we mentioned last show. It may be too late, but Nick Senzel, he's getting called up soon. At least we have to think so. They moved him back to third base. They have a hole at third base. There's been rumors that they're calling him up by the end of the week. It may happen even by the time we produce this podcast. What do you think about Senzel this year as a rookie, and what do you think his long-term ceiling is?
Yeah, second overall pick. I mean, you just look at his numbers in AA last year, just monstrous. Young guy, 22 years old. So, yeah, a great, nice hitter's park. So I really like his ceiling. I'm not sure what to expect right away. It's just so much safer to keep your expectations lowered on these young rookies. So yeah. I'll probably say that and then be ultimately guilty, and I would rush to any waiver wire in which he's available. But in most competitive leagues, he's probably long gone.
Yeah, I think he's long gone as well. You know, somebody asked me in the Reddit AMA what his ceiling is, and I said that it's Paul Goldschmidt, but qualifies at shortstop and second base and third base. That's his absolute ceiling.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, that would not be bad at all. And a lot of people thought that was like a way overreaction. But the thing is, I mean, you look at some of these guys who have come up in the last few years, and Senzel's right on pace with all of them. Carlos Correa, Cody Bellinger, all these guys have come up and they've just dominated. I'm not saying Senzel's going to be Goldschmidt right away. I'm saying that that's his eventual ceiling. And we might see 80% of that this year when he gets called up. There's nobody on the waiver wires that I would rather have right now than Senzel if he's available.
I like it. That's a bold call, and I certainly won't talk you out of it.
Okay. Colin Moran, I've had a lot of questions about him. I do not buy this whatsoever. I would not touch him, really, even in deep leagues.
Yeah, I don't want to be stubborn because I was kind of not nearly as high. I mean, not people like expected some massive breakout with him, but there's some buzz in deeper leagues before the season. And
yeah,
so far they look right and I look wrong, but I'm sticking with it with you. I just am not overly excited about his, you know, his track record, minor league track record and his upside. It's a tough hitter's park. So I'm with you. I'm passing.
Yeah. There's not going to be any power in that park. He doesn't really have that much power to begin with. Maybe he bats 285. That'd be nice. Maybe he scores 70 runs. That's like his ceiling. Are we really going to get excited about someone with a ceiling like that?
You know, someone asked me a question on Twitter today that I'm going to throw to you, and I'm going to ask you, it involves his teammate, Josh Bell. Would you trade him straight up for Otani the hitter?
No, not even close for
you. You wouldn't even think about, okay, interesting. I said no as well, but I can see the tempting upside, but Bell's going crazy too. So for you, that's a no-brainer no. So because Otani's not talked about enough, like what are your thoughts on him as a hitter moving forward?
That's a really good question because we talk about him a lot as a pitcher on here, but like as a hitter, I don't even think about, especially in these formats, these commissioner platforms where, you know, you have to decide, do you want him as a pitcher or as a hitter? If you've got Otani the hitter and Otani the pitcher as two separate players, that's one thing. I think Otani's maybe ownable. And I know a lot of people are going to scoff at that, but we're talking about someone with, he's going to get 350 at bats maybe. In that, he's going to bat 250 with 20 homers. That's a decent player. I mean, are you picking up other guys like that? No, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a Yahoo guy, so I'm part of the, you have to, you know, he's separated. So that's a whole other issue we don't have to get into, but it's interesting you say that. I hear you, yeah, and he sat recently against a couple lefties, and it sounds like he's going to sit, before or after his starts, but obviously he's a little bit eye-opening with homers in three straight days, and it was first couple weeks in the big leagues, and one off Corey Kluber on a pretty decent pitch, so just interesting, but I hear you. I wouldn't fight just saying that you remain quite conservative.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, I like his future. If you look at what he did in Japan as a hitter compared to Hideki Matsui, who was an MVP candidate over here, it's pretty similar and at a younger age. And that's really, really impressive. With that said, there's not as much talent over there anymore as there was at that point when Matsui was going. But Otani's got a lot of potential with the bat. The issue is playing time for me.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, what do you think about Brian Goodwin now that Adam Eaton is on the DL again? Brian Goodwin's got some power. He's got some speed. I think he'll be all right with the batting average. I think he's a decent pickup.
Yeah, if you need it at bats, these are deeper format guys. That's fine because the playing time is going to be there at least short term. But I mean, not a ton of upside. But oh yeah, sure, okay. I'm not overly excited.
Yeah. I don't think you can be overly excited. I guess if you need an outfielder. But here's the thing: in a lot of these leagues, you've got somebody out there who is dropped who's better than Brian Goodwin. Maybe it's Hunter Pence. I know Hunter Pence isn't very exciting, but he's better than Brian Goodwin in my opinion. Matt Kemp, same kind of deal. He's not playing as much as Brian Goodwin, but he's a better hitter than Brian Goodwin. So, you know, people have been asking about Goodwin. I wanted to mention him, but I would imagine there's a better option out there.
Hey, I hear you. I'm in a league in which I was super excited to get Nick Markakis. So some
sorry for laughing, man. I've been there before. That is not fun.
Yep, they exist. So yes, just to your point, I hear you.
Isn't it funny? Because, like, what was it? 5 years ago, Markakis was this young kid hitting 50 doubles every year, and everyone thought he's going to be a star for a long time, and then he turned into that.
It is funny. You're right. Hey, playing time, hitting in the middle of the order, but yeah, it's been quite a turn in his career because I remember everyone had high expectations for him at one point.
What do you think about Matt Kemp? Is this the real deal, what we're seeing from him?
I have no idea what to make of Matt Kemp. I do know that I liked Jock Peterson as a late sleeper. I do know that. He's just been frustrating, and I don't know. I mean, Kemp's hitting kind of an empty 355, and I don't know. What do you make of it? I mean, he no longer runs. He's old, but suppose he got in shape. I mean, 960 OPS, that should result in a good long leash here, if nothing else.
I think he's very similar to Ohtani, what I just said about Ohtani. Kemp's going to get 350 at-bats. Maybe he gets hurt and he gets less. Maybe not and he gets 450. His ceiling is just not there. He doesn't steal. Batting average is going to be, you know, 260, 270, a little bit of pop. So I'm not too excited. I'd rather have a lot of guys than Matt Kemp.
Yeah. I'm a Giants fan, but man, these Dodgers are going to get it together. I have no concern over them whatsoever. Corey Seager is going to start hitting, and Justin Turner is going to come back, and hopefully Clayton Kershaw will record a victory at one point this season.
He probably will. I don't know if Alex Wood is ever going to, though. He has been horrible.
Yeah. No, he'll bounce back to health.
You think so? I'm not convinced.
Yeah. What's his velocity's down? What's the problem? I mean, 15 strikeouts, zero walks. I mean, that's
good. Yeah. I mean, the strikeouts per nine innings, though, he's at like six per nine innings. And that's what he did last year when he was not very good in the second half.
Is whip 0.79. I mean, he might get hurt.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't be worried about Alex Wood right now. But I mean,
all right, the final hitter I want to talk about, then we'll get on over to the listener mailbag, is Gleyber Torres. Had a lot of questions about him as well. It's probably about time where the Yankees call him up. Same with Willie Calhoun, which we've been saying for a while. Who is Torres when he gets called up, and is he worth stashing right now?
Yeah, should be owned in all leagues. I'm really bad at comps, but I just like the situation. Obviously, the hitter's park he'll be in, and they're not going to call him up to not play him. At least I would assume so. So once he's up, he will play close to regularly, and they'll find a spot one way or the other. He should be owned in all leagues, in my opinion, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I'd rather have Senzel than Torres, but with that being said, Torres is going to have eligibility at second, third, and shortstop eventually. Best case scenario for him, his career track is going to be similar to Barry Larkin. That's the type of player that he is. He's not going to be that right away, but he's a guy who can steal you 25 bases, bat 300. Maybe as a rookie, he bats 280, steals 15, 20 bases, hits 12, 15 homers. It's a good fantasy player. That's a player you have to have.
Yep, I agree with you.
All right, listener mailbag time. And if you want to send in questions, it's mailbag@fantasypros.com. Tyler from Texas wants to know if we should be concerned about Lance McCullers.
I mean, he's similar to Wood in my analysis. I mean, his peripherals aren't nearly as good. But what I mean is that his concern with me is just health and durability. I mean, the K rate is still through the roof. Just because he had a bad outing or two through three, to me, means absolutely nothing. I would not even move him one or two spots on my rankings unless I heard some sort of red flag like injury. And his average fastball velocity is exactly the same as last year. So buy low if you can. McCullers still has the upside. If he's somehow through 200 innings, I would say he will finish as a top 10 fantasy starter. So get McCullers.
He's pitching like 4 or 5 innings every outing. And he throws a lot of pitches and everything. That'll ramp up during the season. If he can stay healthy, he's going to get 170 innings. And he's a Cy Young candidate. He really is, even though he just had the horrible outing. I had somebody ask me on Twitter, and I was a little bit ruder than I should have been, but he asked if he should drop Lance McCullers. And I was like, wait, are you serious? This guy's leading the major leagues in K rate for starting pitchers.
It's crazy. I mean, 40% of his fly balls are leaving the fence right now. I mean, it's just absurdly bad luck, and it's just a couple of bad starts. That curveball is out of control. He's not pitching great in the sense that he's getting behind a lot of batters. He's way down there in that category, I believe. That's the case. But whatever the issue, he'll straighten it out. We've seen him do it at the highest of high stages, and that curveball, one of the best pitches in baseball. Please buy low if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the McCullers owner might be panicking, so I would put a trade feeler in there. Don't be a jerk and send a horrible offer, but, you know, send one that you think they might accept, and I think you can buy low on McCullers right now.
Agreed.
Will from Pennsylvania wants to know if Patrick Corbin is the Diamondbacks' best pitcher now.
Yeah, I don't know about best pitcher, but I just watched him the other night against my Giants, and man, he certainly looks far better than he did last year. Another full season removed from Tommy John surgery. Velocity crept back up, throwing that slider. He looks fantastic. I mean, he looks great. Obviously, he's not this good. The funny thing about this question is I think Zach Greinke is going to be fine, but Robbie Ray actually has some concern with his velocity. So I don't know about the best pitcher on his staff, but Corbin, I would actually put him, and this is someone who owns zero shares of him. I'm not going to put him as a sell high. Obviously he's going to regress some, but I'd just be happy if you own him. He's going to be legit a fantastic help to your fantasy team over the rest of the season.
That's a perfect way to put it. I would not sell Patrick Corbin either. I like Greinke more than him. I'm not sure about Robbie Ray at this point with the velocity. I like Zach Godley better than him too. So yep. No, Will, he's not their best pitcher, but he is extremely good.
I didn't even mention Godley. His curveball, he might be the best in all too. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Those Diamondbacks, they got something going there in that staff.
All right, Devin from Washington, he's bringing up one of our players here. Who's less likely to bounce back between Alex Wood and James Paxton?
Well, I like them both, and as a broken record, Paxton, similarly, it's all about health. He can't stay healthy. But I had Paxton ranked a good 15, 20 spots higher entering the year, so I'm just going to stick with Paxton. But I like them both, and they both should be treated as top 30 fantasy starters.
I like Paxton a lot more, too. I think Paxton is an ace. I think Alex Wood has pitched like an ace at times. I think... You know, Alex Wood has that potential, but Paxton is that. We're hoping Alex Wood will be James Paxton.
Yeah, Paxton has Cy Young contention upside.
I mean,
I didn't even know that bounce back. I didn't even realize he was off to a bumpy start or something. He's fine. As long as he's healthy, Paxton's fine.
Yeah, his ERA is like 5.5. It's been three games, guys.
Yeah, it's fine.
Brad from New Jersey says Robert Gesellman is pitching great in the bullpen. Is he going to get another crack at the rotation soon?
So this guy burned me because in a deep NL-only labor league last year, I spent like $10 on him. What a disaster. But biases aside, maybe he's one of those guys who just excels out of the pen, you know, max effort in shorter spurts. But I will say this. I believe it was – I can't remember who it was who said. Maybe DJ Short Roto World. Someone said it's the first time the Mets rotation has gone 1-5, like ever with Zach Wheeler, those main five that they wanted. Or at least in many years, something crazy. So the point being, good luck with that staff staying healthy.
For real.
Even with my Phillies bet, I hope they do. Believe me, I love to see what Harvey and Matts could do in 200 innings apiece, but I doubt it's going to happen. So I do expect him to get a crack at that rotation. Can't promise that results are going to be nearly the same as it's been out of the pen, though.
I think so as well. And, you know, I've watched Gesellman pitch out of the bullpen this year, and he looks like a different pitcher. I'm not sure if that's because he would be a different pitcher in the rotation, too, or if it's because he's pitching out of the bullpen. But, you know, you think about Wade Davis. He was very similar to Gesellman when he was in the rotation. Then he moved to the bullpen. He was dominant. So maybe that's the kind of career Gesellman's going to have.
It wasn't just me who was excited about him entering last year. You know, I mean, before the disaster, he had a little bit of buzz. Like, people did like
him.
So I was just don't just completely write him off because of one down year.
I agree. I think you can buy him right now in a dynasty league, and I think it's going to pay off.
Agreed.
Blake from Tennessee, he says Didi Gregorius is slugging 800. Fluke, or is the power breakout legit? Obviously, he's not going to slug 800, but is the power here?
All right. So last year's exit velocity numbers suggested it was a fluke, and they were like, do not buy if you believe in those. But having said that, you know, it helps to have that right small porch and the best park to be a lefty for power. That didn't change. So maybe he could actually do the same, or he can increase that exit velocity, which reports have him doing so far. So I'm a believer in him and super jealous that I don't have him on many more teams, because coming off last year, people, at least in draft rooms I was in and his ADP, they remained skeptical. And sure, I'm not going to tell you he's going to slug this high, obviously, but he's hitting in the middle of a loaded lineup, sometimes in between two righties, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a perfect situation in a perfect park. So I'm a full believer, maybe not in a true power sense, although his road numbers last year were actually better than at home. So overall fantasy, Didi Gregorius could. Would it surprise you if he finished as a top five fantasy shortstop this year?
No, it really wouldn't. If you asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said there's no chance that's happening. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all now.
Same exact here. Same here.
You know, here's the thing. If I'm not sure, I look at what the guys who are getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions think. And Gregorius is batting in the middle of that lineup, that great lineup. And I know they've got some injuries going on right now, but the Yankees trust him. I don't know about you, Dalton. I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to figure out if Didi Gregorius is having power breakout, you know, or whatever. So I'm going to trust the guys who are.
Yeah, they only pay me in the six figures, not millions.
All right, from the Reddit AMA today, from GoBlue3, he says, who's the first closer to lose his job and who is the stash behind him?
Oh, who's Fernando Rodney, get Addison Reed right now. He should be owned, yeah, I would imagine. Though.
I think so, too.
There you go.
Yeah, Rodney's going to be mad when he loses his job, but it's bound to happen.
And I'll throw one other one. I would own Kyle Bearclaw right now.
Oh, well. You think Bearclaw? I actually think it's Drew Steckenrider.
It might be. Yes, I know. Well, you wanted me to go deep, so I'm going to say I know that Bearclaw doesn't look as good as he once did, and I could be wrong there. But either way, I will say Ziegler's not lasting either.
I think Bearclaw has better stuff than Steckenrider, but he also has more command issues. I don't think the Marlins really care, though. They could just throw out Joe Schmo and they'd be, you know, sitting in last place still, so it doesn't matter. But my favorite one here is Shane Green. I think he's going to lose his job eventually to the guy they've been grooming to be the closer, Joe Jimenez. And I said that last year. It didn't happen. Jimenez was hurt. He was horrible, but he looks good so far, and I think it's only a matter of time.
Well, I agree with you twofold. Either Green pitches poorly, loses his job, or he pitches well, and then he's dealt. I mean, it's one of those two. Like, he's not in their future, and he's a perfect candidate to be traded. So I highly doubt Shane Green is closing come August.
All right, final question here, and this one is also from Reddit. If we redrafted today, would you rather have Matt Chapman in fantasy or Mike Moustakas?
I'm going to say Chapman because there's a bit more of an unknown with him. And even when Moustakas hit, 37 homers last year, it didn't come with, like, amazing counting stats. I just feel like the Royals, that park and that lineup really hurts him. I mean, if that's his ceiling, which I don't know, around there, then give me more of an unknown. And boy, Chapman looks impressive. Such a good defensive player as well.
Yeah, he's an incredible defensive player. And in fact, I think he's leading the majors in WAR right now. Maybe Ohtani is if you combine his hitting and pitching. But Chapman's definitely number one on Fangraphs for offensive players because he's so good defensively as well. I would still take Moose, and the reason why, I don't think Chapman's getting traded. The A's are going to hang on to him for a while. I think Moustakas is going to get traded here in a couple months, and it's going to be a much better lineup, much better ballpark situation. That's really the tiebreaker. I think they're pretty much dead even.
And I will say Chapman could hit 220. Like, he does have that.
yeah, you're right about that.
His floor is that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dalton, that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you joining us. As always, it was a blast, and good luck.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And thanks again to Draft.com for sponsoring today's show. Just a reminder, you can get your upgrade to our highest tier for 6 months. Go to fantasypros.com/offer. Make a $10 deposit. You'll instantly receive the premium Fantasy Pros upgrade for 6 months. $65 value for just 10 bucks. fantasypros.com/offer. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball.